All right, let's jump into a Supreme Court case. It really makes you think, huh? Georgia v. Randolph. It's all about, well, what happens when someone wants to let the police search a place and someone else says, no way, like under the same roof, roommates,
Yeah, it's fascinating. This case really digs into the Fourth Amendment, that protection against unreasonable searches and how it plays out in real life, like when people share a house.
Yeah, because on paper it seems simple, right? My house, my rules. But what if it's also their house? We're going deep into the source material here, straight from the justices themselves, their opinions on Georgia v. Randolph.
So the case came out of a domestic dispute. Police are called to the Randolph's house, and the wife is like, go ahead, search the place. Like the husband's right there, and he's like, absolutely not.
Oh, so that's got to be a little awkward, right? Cops at the door, maybe a fight brewing, and then this legal curveball. So what happened? Whose word wins out in that situation?
Well, the majority of the justices, they actually sided with the husband. Justice Souter wrote the opinion. They basically said that if one resident is right there and saying no to a search, the police can't just come in, even if the other resident says it's okay.
Wait, so let me get this straight. If my roommate and I are like having a huge argument and they call the cops, even if they tell the cops to come in, I can still say no.
Yeah, exactly. You always have that right to refuse a search of your home, even if someone you live with gives the okay. The court called it widely shared social expectations. Like imagine showing up to a party and one of the hosts clearly doesn't want you there. You wouldn't just barge in. It's all about respecting everyone's privacy, even when they're sharing a living space.
Okay, that makes sense. But doesn't that make things kind of hard for the police?
Yeah.
Especially if they need to, act quickly.
Yeah, the majority definitely recognize that, especially when it comes to domestic violence. They were careful to make a distinction between, searching for evidence and protecting someone from danger. In an emergency situation, the police can still enter, even if a resident says no.
So it's not like a free pass if you yell no when the cops show up.
Yeah.
There are nuances, right? It depends on what's happening.
Yeah, for sure. And those nuances really come out in the dissenting opinions, like Chief Justice Roberts. He argued that the majority's rule was, well, kind of impractical and didn't actually do much to protect privacy.
Okay, how so? It seems counterintuitive, like a rule meant to protect privacy doesn't actually do that.
Well, his main point was that when you share a living space, you're also sharing some level of risk, right? It's like you can't stop your roommate from blabbing a secret, right? And you can't stop them from saying yes to a search.
So he's basically saying, choose your roommates carefully.
In a way, yeah. But he also worried that this rule would, make it harder for police to do their jobs, especially in domestic violence cases. Like, what if an abuser is trying to stop the cops from reaching a victim?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So the majority is all about individual rights, but Roberts is thinking about, practical stuff like what happens on the ground, right?
Exactly. And there are other interesting dissents, too. Justice Scalia, he's a stickler for the original meaning of the Constitution, right? He said the Fourth Amendment hasn't changed, even if our ideas about property have. He thinks the court should focus on what search meant back in the 1700s.
Oh, so he's like, if it wasn't a big deal back then, it shouldn't be a big deal now. Interesting. What about the other dissents?
Well, Justice Thomas had his own take. He argued that, the wife just taking the police to the evidence wasn't actually a search legally.
Wait, what? How does that work? It sounds like a search to me.
He compared it to an older case, Coolidge. In that case, the wife willingly got evidence for the police. Thomas thought this case was similar, that the wife was just, pointing the police towards something that was already there, not letting them search the whole house.
So it's like the majority sets a rule that the objecting person's no wins. But then the dissents are like, hold on, it's not that simple. It sounds pretty messy.
Definitely. And it gets even more complex when you bring in the concurring opinions. Justice Stevens, he agreed with the outcome, but for a totally different reason.
Oh, what was his reasoning?
He was all about how society changes, Back in the 18th century, only the husband's consent would have mattered. But things are different now. Spouses have equal rights. He saw this ruling as reflecting that.
So he's like, get with the times, legal system. That's
Yeah.
pretty cool. What about the other concurrences?
Justice Breyer, he agreed with the decision, but said it should be case by case. He emphasized the totality of the circumstances, looking at the whole picture, not just a simple yes or no.
Totality of the circumstances. Sounds like a lawyer phrase. What does that actually mean?
Basically, it means judges have to consider everything, right? Not just whether someone said yes or no. Things like, you know, could evidence be destroyed? Is there a crime happening right now? Or what's the situation with, like, domestic violence? All those things matter.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all rule.
Yeah.
You got to judge each case on its own.
Exactly. And that's super important for everyone listening. This case gives us guidelines, but there are always exceptions, you know? That all depends on the specifics.
This is making me rethink who I live with. But seriously, it shows just how complicated things can get when you're talking about shared living spaces and the law.
Yeah, you're right. And that's where things get really interesting, because Georgia v. Randolph, it really focused on searches for evidence, right?
Yeah.
But what about other situations, like if the police are there for safety checks or noise complaints?
Oh, wow. Good question. Does the same logic apply in those cases? I guess we'll have to talk about that next.
That's where that whole totality of the circumstances thing comes in, right? Like, remember, the court in Randolph, they weren't talking about every single police visit, you know? It was specifically searches for evidence.
Okay, so you're saying if it's about someone's safety, like maybe someone's hurt, then that whole one person says no, that's his thing, maybe that doesn't apply.
It's a gray area, for sure. The court made it clear that, you know, police got to protect people from harm, right? So if there's a real reason to think someone's in danger, a roommate objecting, well, that might not be enough to keep the police out.
So, like, if my neighbors call the cops because they hear yelling, and my roommate's all, it's fine, it's fine, the police could still come in, even if my roommate says no.
It's possible. Think of it this way. The court's trying to balance things, right? Your rights, but also, you know, keeping people safe. If someone might be in trouble, well, that could mean the police need to step in, even if someone says no.
Man, this case opens up a whole can of worms. It makes you wonder how this ruling affects, like, normal everyday stuff, not just these big dramatic situations.
Right. This isn't just about crimes and evidence, Randolph. It matters for anyone living with someone else, roommates, families, couples. It makes you think about, like, where's the line with consent and privacy when you're sharing a home?
So, say I'm living with someone, and they just decide to let the cops in, look around,
yeah,
even though I'm not okay with it. Can they actually do that legally?
There's actually another case from before Matlock. That one dealt with this exact thing. The court there said if one person says yes to a search, the police can usually search the common areas, even if the other person's not happy about it.
Wait, hold up. So if my roommate's like, come on in, officers, check out our messy living room. There's nothing I could do.
That's where Randolph makes things clearer. Remember, if you're actually there and you say no, the police can't just go ahead based on your roommate's yes. At least not when it comes to finding evidence. That's the big distinction in Randolph.
Okay, so me being there and actually saying no, that makes a difference. But still, it seems tricky. Like, I get it. You don't want your roommate to just erase your privacy, right? But then, like Chief Justice Roberts said, sharing a space, that means sharing some risk, too.
Exactly. It's a classic legal thing where there's no easy answer. The court tried to find that middle ground, saying if you're there and you say no, that outweighs the other person's yes. But they left some room for exceptions, you know, like if there's danger or evidence could be lost.
It's like they're saying, here's the rule, but also use your judgment, people.
Yeah.
Which honestly kind of makes sense. Real life is messy, right?
Right. That's the challenge of law, but also kind of the cool part about it, it has to be flexible to work in all these different situations. That's where thinking it through, really analyzing things, that's important.
This whole conversation has got me thinking. What about those situations where, like, one roommate might be the one calling the cops? Like, what if they think their roommate is, I don't know, selling drugs or something?
Oh, that's interesting. In those cases, that whole assumption of risk argument from the dissent, that might be more important, right? If your roommate's doing something dangerous or illegal, you probably have a good reason to work with the police, you know? To stay safe yourself and avoid getting in trouble, too.
It's almost like the court knew all this messy stuff happens in real life, so they left some wiggle room in their decision.
Exactly. It's like they were saying, this isn't a one-size-fits-all thing. Judges got to look at the details of each case. Real life isn't always black and white, and the law needs to reflect that.
So it's like, don't take this ruling and make it a simple answer for everything. Think it through. Look at the context. And speaking of thinking it through, what does this all mean for us, like in our daily lives?
This case really shows why it's so important to know your rights and to talk about those things with whoever you live with. You know, set those expectations early.
It sounds like you're saying chew your roommates carefully and have some real conversations about boundaries.
Exactly. It's way better to figure that stuff out beforehand, right? Instead of trying to sort it out when the police are at your door and everyone's stressed.
So if you're sharing a place, Don't just assume everyone's on the same page. Talk it out. Because as we've seen, things can get really complicated really fast.
That's the truth. And it leads to another important thing, knowing what to do if the cops are there and you're not even sure what you're allowed to do. You know, what are your rights?
Let's get into that next. Because knowing your rights is one thing, but actually using them when things are crazy, that's a whole other story. Okay, so we know things can get kind of crazy when you've got the police at your door, especially if you're sharing a place with someone. What are some things people should remember if they're in that situation? Like, what can they do?
The most important thing, don't forget, you have the right to say no to a search. Even if your roommate, your family, whoever, they're like, yeah, come on in, you can still say no.
What if the police are, like, really insistent? Like, they want to come in anyway. Do I just have to let them?
Never physically fight them. Okay. But you got to make clear that you don't agree to the search. Say it out loud, I don't consent to this search. And if you can, write it down too. That can help you later if it goes to court.
So it's like, you're setting that boundary. This is my home, and I'm not okay with you searching it.
Exactly. You're standing up for your Fourth Amendment rights. And hey, if you're ever unsure about what those rights are, talk to a lawyer, you know?
Right, because the law can be confusing. It's always better to have an expert on your side, especially when it comes to something as important as your privacy.
Absolutely. And remember, we've been talking about searches for evidence, but as we said, the rules might be different depending on the situation, like if it's a safety check or an emergency. So knowing the details of what's happening, that's super important.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive, honestly. I feel like I've learned so much about the Fourth Amendment and how tricky it can be when multiple people are living together.
Yeah, the big takeaway from Georgia v. Randolph is that it gives us some answers about consent to search when one person says no, but it also shows us that every case is different and the details really matter.
It's definitely not as simple as it might seem at first, right? Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up?
Here's something to think about, building on what we've talked about. The court in Randolph, they were focused on evidence searches. But what about those other situations? Like when they're checking on someone's safety, could one roommate saying no ever be more important than a clear safety concern? It's something to consider.
Well, that's a great point. It makes you think about where the line is between like individual rights and keeping everyone safe and how those lines can get blurred, you know, out in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. It's a complex issue. There's no easy answer, but that's what makes these discussions so interesting, right?
Well said. Huge thanks to you for joining us on this deep dive into the Fourth Amendment and all the stuff about co-tenant consent. It's a good reminder that our rights are important and we got to protect them, even when things get complicated, like when we're sharing a living space.
It's been my pleasure. Always happy to dig into these legal puzzles.
And to all our listeners, until next time, keep thinking, keep asking questions, and stay curious.